We are back. This is the Paula Gordon Show. I'm Paula. Bill Russell and I are talking with Dr. Dennis Burton, who works at the Scripps Research Institute. We were talking about, it looked like viral diseases, infectious diseases were sort of over.
Right.
And then AIDS came.
And then AIDS came and really was a massive wake-up call. And people said, well, you know, it clearly is not. And I think that researchers expected in early on that a vaccine would just be developed in the simple ways that had worked before. And it rapidly became clear that that wasn't going to be the case. And so...
Well, and then we started getting screaming headlines about things like Ebola that just scared everybody to death.
Right. And then the emerging pathogens began to be noticed and, as you say, started to scare people. And then the possibility that these things could be used in a terrorist mode frightened people more. So now I think there's a much greater awareness of infectious disease, although, of course, you have to say that some infectious diseases have been going on with huge mortalities all the time. I mean, we're only...
Like
malaria that's... You know, it's not basically changed that much, but is a terrible scourge on humanity.
So our successes were in some ways bad news, but we've gotten over those successes.
Yeah, I wouldn't say they were bad news. Nobody that's seen anybody, you know, who's had polio would ever say that. But certainly we were lulled into thinking that dealing with infectious agents was a lot easier than it is. And HIV in particular has taught us how difficult it is actually to deal with these pathogens.
It seems like there are two pieces of this. One is diseases that we've never seen before, viruses we've never seen before.
Right.
And the other, and I think to some people surprising, would be those diseases that are adapting and have changed in response to our defenses and the artificial defenses we've generated. Is that a fair characterization?
Not really. I mean, I think some of these things like HIV have been around. HIV has not probably been around that long. It probably made the jump from monkeys to people around about 1930 is the best guess now. But then it's mushroomed in terms of the number of people infected because of travel and the growing population. It's sort of doubtful that any of these things are completely new. Nobody knows, but Ebola has probably been in some unknown host, possibly bats.
Well, we still don't know.
We still don't know. Possibly bats in Africa for a very, very long time. And, you know, if there was a small outbreak here and there in the middle of Africa, nobody would have known until recent years. So... quite a bit of the newness and the feeling that there are new things coming is related to the fact that we're just aware of so much more that's going on in the
world communication, the fact that people are moving back and forth around
right.
the world.
Well,
right.
And that you get headlines that come out of the parts of the world. For instance, when the Hanta virus became a common. More common, something about which people knew to talk. It came from a very isolated population. When we were talking with Dr. Alfred Crosby, he has made the point that isolation in the human population puts everybody at great risk, but it also has kept us not only the risk of infection, but the risk of not knowing.
Right. That's very true.
Are there a whole, forgive my using the word, host of things that await us that have been... either people have been so isolated they didn't get it, or the isolation has been such that we didn't know they got it.
Well, nobody knows. I mean, that's the honest answer. But one would suspect there aren't that many places left in the world where humans have had no contact. So, but, you know, I guess we don't really know. I mean, somebody could go into some rainforest and start scraping around and come back with something that was really bad.
And there are the kinds of things you mentioned, the jump from one species to another.
Well, that's often, I think, what causes some of the biggest problems, because if a pathogen kills a host, it's very quickly, it's not doing very well. It'll tend to wipe itself out. So pathogens tend to be in symbiosis with the host, and they adjust to a particular host, and often, most usually, I suppose, don't kill the host. But then if you get a jump from one species to another, then it's a whole new ball game. And indeed, that seems to be what happens with Ebola. Presumably, it's an endemic infection of some unknown species. For example, a bat that it doesn't kill, and lives happily there. And then suddenly it jumps into another species, such as a human, and it kills the human very quickly. And it's a dead end from the virus's point of view. I mean, the virus just wants to keep its own genetic material going.
There has
going.
To be some sort of reservoir that
there has
that,
to be a reservoir.
For anything that's lethal, which is a curious...
Really, yes. Yeah, either a reservoir or... There's also a thing about population size. So that, for example, measles never exists in populations below a certain size. It only exists in humans, and it jumps from one human to the next, and it requires a certain population size in order to keep itself going. So,
you've got to have at least as many and more?
You've got to have a certain population, and of course what's happening now is the population of the world is going up a lot, so it's providing more opportunities. But if you take measles, for example, if it infects an island population, then and this has been observed, then what will happen is it will infect a number of people. But then, then it will die out as a certain number of people are infected and can't pass it on because of the size of the population. So it'll just die out. And viruses such as that only really began to appear and take hold as human populations in particularly urban areas, for example, in Europe and so on, increased in size. So I mean, population size, the sheer number of people on the planet, really increases the possibilities for pathogens.
And the communication between populations sort of is an artificial substitute for a large population in
right.
one place.
Well, yeah, the two things together, a large population and people moving from one area to another, really.
So the population issues are not just resource use, that there are a lot of people using a lot of resources. It also changes lots of other things.
Yes, it does. It changes all the dynamics of pathogen-human interaction.
We think of this as just being, and of course being humans, we think about humans, but this really applies across the biosphere, doesn't it? This crisscross and jumping stuff?
Right. And it's amazing how fast things can spread. There's a canine virus that was first described, I think, in the 70s, that spread all the way around the world in between 1 and 2 years. So it appeared, I think, first in I believe it was Belgium, and then within 1 to 2 years you could find it in wolves in Alaska and just everywhere where there were dogs or related species, and it just got all around the world. And it's present at very high concentration in dog feces, and you know, people get that on their shoes, and that gets moved. It gets on airplanes, it moves, and the dogs, you know, sniff some more feces, and it moves, and it got around the whole world in just over a year, which is quite incredible.
Which,
really.
Which sounds like bad news for dogs, but again, the kinds of things you're talking about, if it in fact can jump species, then it gets much more complicated. Doesn't
right?
It?
Yeah. I mean, that particular virus doesn't, or that particular form of that virus doesn't infect humans. So, yes. I mean,
at least it hasn't yet.
No, it hasn't yet. But I think that's one reason why, you know, sometimes people say, well, why do you spend so much money on AIDS, for example? And, you know, it's a very fair question. You look at the numbers that die, let's say, or are suffering in the United States as compared to other illnesses. And I think one thing that is important is to realize that infectious disease has a potential that is just devastating. That's why you have to be really extra careful with it. And you know, you have to really work hard to understand and be ready if something happens, because it has such enormous ability. They have such enormous abilities to do a lot of damage very, very quickly.
Our guest is Dennis Burton. He works with antiviral activities and human antibodies. We're going to come back in just a moment with Dr. Burton. Bill Russell and I are with him in Taos, New Mexico, and all three of us will return in a moment. We hope you will, too.